Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen. I'm a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And our topic for this evening is close to my heart. It is our upcoming trip to Africa. We're leaving this week on another trip to Zambia. As probably most of our listeners know, we get to travel to Zambia a few times a year to work on a project we have there in a slum outside of Ndola, Zambia's second largest city. And I'm going to figure that most folks are pretty familiar with the background of the work that we do there. But if that's not the case, you can visit our website at livingcompassion.org and click on the Africa Vulnerable Children Project tab. And there's a wealth of information there about the project, how we got started, what we're up to there, as well as, I would venture to say at this point, probably hundreds of blogs from all of the trips that we've taken. And so I also happen to be the coordinator of the projects there. And so at the end of the update this evening, I'll give you just a brief sense of what we're planned to be up to for this trip and what you can watch for in the blog. But I thought it would be fun tonight to talk about more kind of the process of the trip, so what it's like to travel there and to participate with the folks in Cantalomba in the community where we work. And here to do that with me are my three fellow travelers who are also my fellow monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. So I'd like to welcome Sequoia.
Hi, Jen.
And Brian.
Yeah, hello.
And Alex.
Howdy.
So for Brian and Alex, they're repeat visitors to Cantalomba. Brian actually was just on the trip that we took in, I guess it was December. Alex was there a year ago, and I would say up to what, fourth or fifth or sixth trip at this point, Alex, I'm guessing. It's been a number of times.
Yeah,
he's a regular. He said he's lost count. And then so for Sequoia, it's her first time. So I thought I would start by asking Brian and Alex to speak to what are kind of the highlights for you? What, knowing what you know about going there, what do you most look forward to? What are some of your favorite parts? Maybe we can start with Alex.
Yeah, no questions at all for me about what my favorite part about going to Zambia and Cantalomba specifically are. And my favorite part is the people. I mean, they are the most amazing people I have ever had the privilege to meet. Against all odds, they are doing miraculous work there. Anybody who has ever followed any of the blogs knows about the kind of transformation that these folks have managed to make happen on that piece of property there, and making the project larger and larger and larger, feeding more and more children. I just can't say enough about how amazing they are. I mean, everybody on the co-op started off as a volunteer and did not get paid, and did everything that they did out of the goodness of their hearts. And that's one thing that I deeply admire about the people there, that amidst all of the physical hardships there, they have an incredible spirit that is a model for me.
You know, as you say that, Alex, it makes me realize how we're just kind of the honorary get to witness the, you know, get to help facilitate bringing some of the resources in to allow it all to happen, but what an honor it is just to be there and see it all.
Just to say one quick thing, because I know we have a couple other folks, that it's because I love these people that I'm going there. You know, I have someone that I'm sponsoring, and I'm going to get to see her a couple years older, and my goal is to get a snapshot of her so that I can wear her 2 years older around my neck.
That's really fun. So, Brian, kind of same question for you. What would you say?
My favorite part really is just kind of getting the opportunity to step up and kind of model some of the attitudes and practices that are going to help these people make the changes that they want to make in their life, because they really are, you know, it doesn't take much. You know, they are really full of life and the willingness to make the changes in their community and in themselves. And they just, in a lot of cases, just haven't had access to the sorts of advantages we have, you know, the sorts of cultural training and whatnot that we take for granted. And, you know, it's a bit of an arduous journey getting over there. It's a bit physically taxing, and just, you know, to really have a chance to step up and show up and, you know, model that and just getting to see how that kind of work that we're doing there, you know, it's we very much kind of go there and let life lead us, and you know, just show up and do our best to provide what we can for folks. And that kind of attitude, you know, it really does spark some changes. Just today, I got to post the latest Moyenda blog, where we found out that one of our fellows, Winter, who's been learning, you know, kind of woodworking and carpentry skills, even though he works for us as a night watchman for the property, he has started a business making cooking utensils and selling those. And the cooperative was able to purchase some of those, you know, great big huge spoons to stir these giant Enshima pots to feed the kids, you know, and to just see it all come around like that is really kind of magical.
Yeah, they look more like boat paddles in the photos, don't they? Yeah. So, Brian, as you were talking, the word partnership was what kept coming through for me, because it really is. It's an exchange of information. You know, back to what Alex was talking about, it's an exchange of love. It takes all of us to do it, really, because most folks in Cantalumba have never been to school. You know, most of the adults, the kids are now going to school, but most of the adults have not. And so there's a ton of information they don't have. And so just to be able to go there, facilitate that, offer them the information so that they can then take it and succeed is such a pleasure. And as you say, it makes it worth getting on those 40-whatever hours of travel, airplane travel that it takes to get there. So thank you. So, Sequoia, I'm wildly curious to know, after many years of hearing about it and reading blogs and all of that, what's it like to consider going there in person?
I don't even know how to put it in words. You know, it's all those years of reading the blogs and looking, you know, and seeing people's pictures and trying to imagine that my face is going to be in one of those blogs. It's just, you know, and I am very excited. And one of the reasons I'm excited is having Teresa come here to visit, and I think it was about a year and a half ago. And when Teresa came, it was just like, I felt an instant connection to her. You know, she was just like, oh my gosh, this is my family, you know. And so as I travel there, I'm so excited about it, because I have that feeling that I'm just going to meet all these folks that are my family that I have not met before. And I have been just inspired by the blog and like Alex said, everyone's courage, and I'm so looking forward to being able to be there in person and meet everybody, and it just is unimaginable to me right now.
I have goosebumps imagining it myself, and I have to tell you that I love it when someone is coming on a trip who has not been there before, because that is the royalty welcome that they... You know, it's nice when we, oh, Jen's here. Hi, Jen. And we, you know, we hug and we kiss and we, you know, we're all glad to see. But when someone hasn't been there before, it's a whole other welcome to the family kind of thing. So I'm really excited for that. So to give people a little sense of the content of what they can look for in the blog, one of the big things we'll be doing is launching the pilot of the Stove Project. For people who haven't heard about that, we did a good news update about it on February 1st. So you could go back to the archives and look that one up. Really excited about the possibilities for that project. So we're going to launch that just with the cooperative itself for now, as kind of a pilot for that project. We have big plans to expand the food program this year. So we're going to be meeting with Teresa about what's a reasonable goal for how many children we can add this year, what will it take to do it, what staff will we need to add, that sort of thing. And really looking at developing the girls program. It just started on our summer trip last year. And, you know, girls are the future of Cantalumba. Of course, I mean, the children in general are the future, but you always hear when you read development studies about how when you educate children, when you give children what they need to grow up properly, then they're the ones who are really going to bring their families forward. And so, and traditionally, they're the ones who don't get brought forward. So often, if there's a choice in a family of who goes to school, it's always going to be the boy. So we're putting a lot of focus right now into the girls program and looking at, going to be meeting with Rose, the nurse, with Teresa, what are some ways we can expand that program and really deepen it, as well as, of course, checking on all the other myriad details of the day-to-day runnings of the operation. So we're really excited. We fly out late this week. We'll all be on the ground by Sunday and Monday of next week. So I'm looking at my fellow travelers. We have a commitment to start right in on the blog, so maybe Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Maybe this time next week you'll be seeing the first blog come through. So, Michael, I think we're complete, and we'll turn the show over to you.
Sounds great. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Hi,
welcome,
Michael.
Melinda.
That was very exciting. I mean, I've been here at the monastery, aware of all the preparation that's going into four of our monks traveling to Zambia, but it was so fun to hear everybody and just get another update on many of the things that are going to be happening while they're there.
Yes, it's very fun. It's very fun. I noticed the smile creeping across my face as I was listening.
Yeah. And it is fun to contemplate somebody going there for the first time. I had my first trip at the beginning of last year, I think it was, and it really is. There's nothing in life that can compare to it. So I'm really, just very happy for Sequoia that she's having this opportunity too.
Yes, it's wonderful. And I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but the blogs are fabulous.
The blogs are truly amazing. Yep.
Yes.
They're captivating, and I can't exactly say how that happens, but for me, they're just, I can't wait till they arrive and go right over and read them and see all the beautiful pictures. And, yes, I agree, Michael.
Yeah, it's fresh, it's fun, you never know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What's that phrase? This is Africa. And, it's exciting, and you got plans, and then life comes up and change direction, and
mm-hmm.
it's fun.
Yeah, and it's, as Sequoia was saying, they're family. We've been in communication and working with these folks for a bunch of years now, and so we get to find out how the uncles and aunts are doing.
Yes.
Not to mention all the wonderful kids.
Yes. Very fun.
Yep.
Very fun. And I have some announcements here, Melinda, before we get started. Sherry will be at Open Circle in Berkeley on Sunday, March 20th. That's at 7 p.m. There's a new email class coming up. It's called It's Time to Feel Good. That begins on April 1st, and folks can register on the website.
Mm-hmm. And for all the people who've been wondering about this recording and listening that we've been talking about, that's the class to take.
Yes, indeed. Sherry will be at Malaprop's Bookstore in Asheville, North Carolina. That's on May 8th at 5 p.m. And then she'll be in Rhinebeck, New York for a weekend workshop May 27th to 30th at the Omega Institute. Folks can register through Omega for that. And then back to California at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, Sherry will be co-leading a workshop with Mark Lesser called Spirituality and Business, and that's June 10th through 12th. Another weekend workshop, Sherry will be at Namaste, which is in Felton, California, July 8th and 9th, and this supports the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yeah. She is one busy lady.
Yes, and I'm barely halfway through here. Sherry will be leading the Not What But How retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in the middle of July, July 16th through 23rd. That's a Saturday through the Saturday. And then she'll be back to Esalen for a weekend workshop, August 12th through 14th. What do these questions have in common?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading that on the website today. Very fun.
Yes.
And
then,
finally,
go ahead.
Last but not least, the 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk on October 1st.
Yes, not to be missed. That's our big support for our Africa project.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It's going to be very fun. And, Melinda, we have callers here.
Wonderful. Why don't we talk?
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Valerie from Minnesota.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Michael.
Hi. How's it going in Minnesota?
It's cold, but it's okay.
It's cold, but it's...
okay.
Okay, all right. Cold is not unfamiliar for Minnesota, is it?
Nope.
So what's going on for you?
I read what Sherry wrote in one of the workbooks.
Mm-hmm.
If you had known then what you know now, you might not have done then what you did then. But if you hadn't done then what you did then, you wouldn't know now what you know now.
And what do you see about that?
It kind of reminds me of as long as you're willing to feel bad about something, there's always something to feel bad about.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yep. Yeah. And so you're seeing that that wonderful quotation applies for you.
Yeah, I guess reading the first quote helped me understand why the second quote is possible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Say the second quote again for me.
If you are willing to feel bad about something, there's always something to feel bad about.
Yes. Yeah. And so how are you using that? How are you practicing with that?
Well, I was in crisis mode, and then Dave said that shame is just more conditioning.
Yes.
And I was in the process of being upset, and then it was like, I don't know, it hit me at that moment different than it's ever hit me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I started clumping shame and guilt together. And things that I really don't have to take personally, really. And
yes,
I guess the reason also why I stopped taking them personally was because of this side of nirvana. Like Sherry said, that karma's from before, beginningless
mm-hmm.
time.
Yes.
So, and then back to the workbook, it says, pay attention, believe nothing, don't take anything personally. I don't think I stopped taking things personally because it was intellectual understanding, but I really feel like I've had an experience through this information I've been saying of not taking things personally.
Yes, you really don't have to own them. You can just see that how they work is the way conditioning works.
Yeah, not that I want to be able to keep in mind the indulgence line, the indulgence and the responsibility line, but feeling good is different than indulgence. I think feeling good, like not taking that stuff on.
Right. Right, and feeling good is what's there when we're not taking it all personally, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we're being able to step back and see that all of that stuff is just a system that conditioning has in place, but it's not, I don't have to take it personally. I don't have to live in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. It's really great big chunk of freedom there.
Yeah, it's kind of put a spring in my step.
Aha. Yeah, a spring that's there all the time. It just gets kind of weighted down when we fall into believing the stuff that conditioning wants to try to make us believe. We lose our spring, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so nice. So the spring is back in your step.
Well, it was until I made this call, and now my face is red, and I'm...
and Kent, does that eliminate the spring? Or can
what?
You have a spring in your step with a red face?
Yeah, I can. Spring. Yeah, I think that those things aren't compatible. Those things are compatible. I just, you know, all of a sudden the fear comes up when I start to say these out loud, you know.
Conditioning is wanting to, you know, because you know that fear is more conditioning. And it's just wanting you not to go public with discovering that spring in your step.
Yep.
It's designed to take that spring out of your step and make you sit down and feel miserable, but sounds like you're not buying it.
That's great.
What a wonderful collection of things you found and put together to really boost your practice and give you a real advantage over conditioning.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited.
Mm-hmm.
It's really made me feel excited. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that neat? So you're going to keep that spring in your step after the phone conversation, and conditioning is probably going to want to come in and give you all kinds of opinions that aren't you.
Yeah.
They're just going to be more conditioning, but you know that it's going to be there.
Yeah. Drop opinions. Drop egocentric karmic conditioning opinions of me.
Yes. Yes.
There's always something to feel bad about if I'm listening to the opinions that are saying, you blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
Yep. And it's saying sort of parenthetically, and we want you to feel bad, so we're going to keep saying this to you.
Yeah.
And you can just kind of metaphorically, if not literally, thumb your nose at it and go on springing along down the road.
Yeah. Yep.
That's great, Valerie.
All right.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you called in. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Valerie. You're listening to Open Air. And I want to thank you both for modeling our focus on about 5 minutes of conversation.
Yeah.
And sticking to one topic.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Pasha from San Francisco.
Hello, Pasha from San Francisco. How are you?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Very fine. What's up?
Oh, I just called to say thank you for this call. I always forget about the time, and I don't have a chance to express the gratitude I have for this open air and for the sangha and for such a great support. And I feel sometimes overwhelmed, but then I'm running out of time to express it, and it really makes sometimes me like almost in tears. How much I'm wrapped into the blanket of support and sangha and so many wonderful things that I receive directly, and also kind of indirectly when people model for me, like all the monks in the monastery. It first made me cry when I was there on the retreat, how much care I was given being there, but also I don't know how to say it, I understand that they're doing their practice kind of not for me, but for themselves, or I don't know for who is it for, but I feel supported also by their dedication and by their stickiness to the practice, you know.
Yeah.
And that's really supporting, and I just wanna say it out loud and feel gratitude for all the work I received directly, and indirectly from Sangha, from Sherry, and from Michael and from you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Pasha, and I really hope that you're being able to include yourself in being a person of Sangha who offers support to everyone by your participation. That's such a beautiful thing about Sangha is that it's none of us is separate from the other, and it all really contributes to that wonderful blanket of support, as you described it. It's just it just doesn't get any better, does it?
Oh yes, having a child, it's such an experience of now it feels to me how can I say that? The practice helps me not just be better myself, but also be better for my family. And I receive such a immediate reflection of it, and I see it, and also people around me to say these things to me, and I don't want to exclude myself or that Pasha who is doing the practice from it. So
who's working hard and who's caring and who's really, and that I keep thinking of that expression of gratitude wants to give, and it just there's no place where it needs to end.
Definitely, and it feels so. It feels such an explosion, like so many things, kind of overwhelming. I don't want to go into them yet, but it's such an influx of energy that wants to give, wants to outpour.
The open heart that just stays open by continuing to give.
Yes.
It's really a good deal.
All right. Thank you so much. I don't want to take time from other callers. I wasn't expecting to be waiting for the call again. So.
All right. Well, thank
All
you
right.
so much, Pasha.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Pasha. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we have the pleasure of being joined by Melinda, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. That was fun, Melinda.
Oh, yes. It was quite lovely.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Sangha is just, there just aren't enough words of praise to describe it.
Indeed. Indeed. Melinda, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
What... Welcome back to Open Air. Melinda, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lorraine in Washington, D.C.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I talked to Sherry at the beginning of the year when I was super upset, and I'm just calling to say that I'm doing better, and I'm really grateful, like Pasha was saying, for the Sangha. I'm so grateful.
Yeah. So you talked to Sherry at the beginning of the year when you were pretty upset, and it sounds like things may have shifted a bit for you now.
I think the circumstances are totally the same. I just sort of put the problem on hold.
Isn't that?
And I haven't addressed that yet, but I've been being really conscious of being nicer to myself. I just sort of shifted to, well, just be nice to yourself for a while.
Well, that's great. So seeing that none of the circumstances that you were upset about have changed, but you kind of put it on hold, and in the process or somehow you have been being kinder to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Just thinking like, I just asked myself, does thinking about this problem do any good? I can't cope with it anyway, so I'm not going to think about it, and I just shift my attention to something that makes me feel a little better.
Yeah, like being kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm. And then everything just seems to be feeling better, so I don't know. I woke up this morning thinking, okay, now you really do have to deal with that issue one of these days.
We might suggest that that's actually a voice saying coming along to remind you that there's this issue that you have to deal with. And were you able today to just go back to, well, maybe not right this minute.
Right, yeah. I said, no, I told the voice, I'm not going to deal with the issue, but I am going to call in.
Oh, very good, very good.
Yeah.
And watching how just that makes things a little bit less serious.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of your experience?
A little bit, yeah, but makes it a little less serious, and I'm hoping the more I listen and record, the more I listen to Sherry's stuff in my car all the time, by the time there might come a point where I feel strong enough to deal with the issue, maybe? I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen. I'm just focusing on being nice.
right, which is great. It feels way better than focusing on there's this issue I don't know what to do with. Excuse me. But the recording and listening, are you, have you been able to present the mentor with the issue, or is that something you feel not ready to do? Excuse me.
Let me think. I think the mentor is not sure what to do either. I don't know.
Well, and maybe whatever there is to do just hasn't kind of presented itself yet. And that with just putting it on hold and being kind to yourself, at some point, something is likely to drop in that will be, okay, here's a possibility.
Yeah.
Something
that's been my experience in the past with other issues.
Pardon me?
That has been my experience in the past with other issues. That
yes.
Something drops in like that, yeah.
Yeah. That the noodling it can only make us feel bad. And I think your shift to just being kinder to yourself and away from that noodling sounds like really a very kind thing to do.
It certainly feels a lot better.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, isn't it, that there can be this situation and we can feel really bad about it, and then just with that shift that you're talking about, it can still be there and still be something that's going to have to be dealt with someday. But we don't have to feel bad about it all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Don't have to feel bad about it all the time, and then I have enough energy to do other things that I do know how to do.
Yeah. Which makes me feel so much happier.
Yeah.
And then it's like this snowball of productivity instead of a snowball of falling down a well. It just feels so different.
And that's the way it works, isn't it? When we go into that, we can go down into a downward spiral, or as you're describing, we can kind of go into an upward spiral.
And I never knew that was possible.
Yes. Yeah. And it sounds like you're kind of being patient with this and have a sense that at some point something will drop in that'll be a thing to do. But in the meantime, you can just go on doing that upward spiral.
That's good to hear. That's good, because then I can, that's good to tell myself, like, well, something will drop in instead of, like, I'm just avoiding it.
Well, and it sounds like you have experience in your own life that supports that.
Yep. Out of the blue, something will just occur to me like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
Yes,
that's what the mentor's doing back there. There's a little workshop that the mentor's creating those things. And at some point, she or he, I'm kind of assuming it's a female mentor, will throw something in that'll be a, we'll see. Something exciting to look forward to.
Yes. I'm just so, so grateful to all of the effort you guys do and all the tapes and CDs and everything is the, can't tell you how much Sangha and everything has helped.
Yeah, it really is fine, isn't it? And it really is helpful to, I hope you'll call in again with another report before too long.
Okay. I'll keep you posted because this call wasn't as scary, so I'll keep calling.
Yep. Great. It'll be second nature before long.
Oh, dear. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lorraine. Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lorraine. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Melinda.
Good. Let's keep talking.
Yes. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening. This is Beth.
Hello, Beth.
Hi, Melinda.
How's it going?
I have no idea how to answer that.
Okay.
I'd like to look at silence.
All righty.
At Yogaville, Sherry kind of made a comment that silence is the shortest way.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, I have been just kind of naturally increasing the amount of time I spend in silence,
mm-hmm.
in the car, in, you know, on my jobs,
so
at
not
home.
Not turning anything on while you're driving in the car.
Right.
Being quiet when you're working.
Right, which I have done. And it's like, you know, for the last couple of years, I've been listening to kind of teaching tapes.
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of put that on hold.
Uh-huh. And how is it going with the silence, with the more silence in your life that you were practicing with?
Well, I'm finding it addictive.
Addictive. That's a curious word to use. Yes.
Like I'll walk out of places that play background music.
Mm-hmm.
Just where I'm trying to I prefer it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what else to say.
Are you finding that the silence is really silent in your head, or
it's not really silent. It's,
yes.
I mean, it's really never silent.
Mm-hmm.
There's always noise.
Yes. The voices are, they don't seem to sleep a lot.
I wish they would.
Yes.
I've been going through some pretty strong energy spaces.
Could you say more about that?
Well, like earlier today, I just, you know, I just saw something about it.
Mm-hmm.
transition and going up the stairs into the house out of the car, and I lifted up my foot to go on the stairs, and I couldn't lift up the other foot just because of this intense emotional state. Not any awareness of where it came from. Usually happens at 3 a.m.
The intense emotional energy state.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you work with that?
Well, actually, something you told me once in guidance about the rock and the hard place is how a snake loses its skin. It kind of feels like, you know, there's like one of my clients just has a 3-week-old baby. And kind of watching the baby go through the emotional states.
Yes.
And kind of seeing how the tendency to try to figure them out keeps them going.
Yes, the baby just goes through them.
The baby just goes through them.
With amazing rapidity often.
Yes.
And there you are at 3 a.m. And you see that if there's a story attached to those intense emotions, they tend to hang around.
Yeah, and I got stories.
Yeah, well, yeah, unlike the rest of us, huh?
Yeah, well, my stories are real.
Of course, of course. And tell me whether you've picked up a recorder and worked with this.
I actually have.
Ah.
Sherry and I talked about that the last time I called into the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite form of practice.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But you did it.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You started.
Started, yeah. Mm-hmm. Listening to it is harder.
Uh-huh.
Particularly.
And have you listened?
I tend to play it and then tend to record it and then listen to it.
And you do, so you do listen to what you've recorded?
Once.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
There's more willingness to record than to listen.
Yeah. Because?
It's like eating tuna fish. Why would anybody want to do that?
Okay. So there's some stories about that. There's some stories that go with the prospect of listening.
Yes.
Because I wonder what it would be like to consider that the person that you're going to be listening to is not the one who's doing the listening. Does that make sense?
I almost heard it.
Listening as a caring sort of confidant who wants to hear what this person is going through and doesn't have attitudes about how she sounds or doesn't have attitudes, period. Because you probably listen to friends that way, huh?
Yeah.
So there's this person who has some pretty intense emotional stuff going on and might really appreciate having somebody really listen to her.
Yeah. There's a part that cognitively gets it that I'm the one that I want,
mm-hmm.
but that one really believes that it's somebody external.
Well, when you're listening to the recorder, you are external.
Yeah.
Technically.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Because I think that's an experience a lot of folks are having, speaking for myself anyway, that it's really possible to listen to the person who did the recording as if it were someone I really care about and that I would really like to support whatever's going on for her.
I really would like that.
Yeah, and it takes practice. In a way, it takes practice, but the biggest thing is simply doing it.
Showing up.
You got it. Showing up and knowing that you care. Like that, whatever you feel when you're watching that three-week-old baby go through its emotional highs and lows, take that same attitude to the place of listening to the person on the recorder.
I can kind of get a, I have no idea where we are on time. I kind of get it. I did get it there for a second.
Yeah. Well, showing up, you named it. You know what the steps are.
Again and yet again.
Yes.
Thank you, Melinda.
You're very welcome, Beth. Report back, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Great. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You are listening to Open Air. Melinda, we're going to hear from Stop, Drop, and Breathe and Sangha Market, and then we'll be right back.
All righty. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and chat on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Melinda, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is John.
Hi, John.
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Good reveal this week.
Would you say that again?
Yeah, I had a really good reveal, a revelation this week.
A good revelation, all right.
Yeah, it was that I am a codependent.
Huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in therapy last Friday, my therapist and I just kind of went around, and finally it dawned on me that what he's talking about is patterns of codependency that I have.
Uh-huh.
And I finally was able to go, yep, that's me. I've been doing it all my life. And it was just kind of a, oh my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
a stroke of clarity.
a grace note of clarity, I guess, because I was able to see and still am this thread of codependency running in through my life since childhood and through my parents' lives, I strongly suspect. And it's just been super powerful in driving my life and relationships.
And are you being able, I can't tell if you're being able to see this and work with it without self-hate coming in some form?
I think I am. I think it's the answer that I've been looking for in terms of, oh, that's the pattern. that's even below the voices. And it's really, in a sense, it's a relief to finally know what I have to work with.
Uh-huh. And could you say a word or two about what kinds of things you look at as you describe yourself as codependent?
Well, being a fixer, being a rescuer, trying to please people. You know, my not setting early enough boundaries and then feeling guilty about it if I have to do something.
Okay.
And taking care of people, taking care of being my mother's son, so I have to be the good boy in order to keep the family appearances up. I mean, it's all there. And whether it's a story or not, I see it as a thread that's been driving my life.
Right. And do you see where are you going to go from there? It'd be better to put a question to it.
That's a great question, is take care of myself.
Yes.
And incorporate this into my awareness practice.
Yeah. And that's a big one, that first thing you said. It seems to me that turning all of those, because those of us who are caretaker, codependent types, you know, we really do an awful lot of projecting onto what those other people want. But it can give us really good clues about what we want.
Okay, sure.
And then we are in the best possible position to give it to us.
Or ask for it.
Or ask for it. Mm, yeah.
You know, I'm just saying that, okay, I need this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, ask for it. I don't get it. Okay, but at least it's out there and it's not inside and churning and building resentment and anger and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And it's information for you as well that it is a need, whether it's met externally or not. It's in your awareness as something that it would be nice to take care of John around.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, this is, I've been to a couple of Codependence Anonymous meetings already, and I'm already gaining more and more awareness of this and how it works. And it doesn't feel like I'm going because suddenly this person that has a project that wants to go. It feels like I'm going because here's a doorway that's been opened. Let's walk through it.
Yeah, and it sounds like gathering a lot of information for yourself.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, I'm seeing it in so much stuff that comes up that it's enlightening in one very powerful way. Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and to do that, it sounds like right now, in particular, you're kind of stepped back from it, to be able to do it from a position of being kind of disidentified and just see, wow, look how this works. Isn't it amazing?
Isn't it amazing? And the other thing it just reminded me of is this feeling that I have of, okay, I can't fix this. It's a humble surrender to whatever the higher power is, because I'm here because I've been trying to work through this and it hasn't worked. So, you know, it's really a very surrendered place.
Yeah. And keeping some focus, it sounds like, on what does John need? What would really take care of the guy who's seeing all this?
Right.
Really, really take care of him.
Right. No, I'm with you on that. And that's really important. And I'm that is definitely not lost on me.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Exciting times, John.
Well, it is. And it opens a lot of awareness practice opportunities that I'm actually very, very grateful for.
Yeah. That's great.
All right.
Alrighty, thanks for calling in.
Okay, thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, John. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Melinda.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Melinda. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Wow, I'm so excited. I didn't know that I was having all these trouble with the phone, and I thought, well, I'm just going to keep trying.
When you least expect it, there we are.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So I think I'm calling for, you know, a couple different reasons, I guess. I think the main thing was I just wanted to call because I hadn't called in a long time, and I wanted to connect. So
yes,
I'm really, really
That's
glad.
Good. Yep. Yeah, it really
yeah.
is good to just touch in and have that connection, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is, because what conditioning wants is there to be a particular problem or issue or great insight that's come up during the week, and and I think there have been great insights that come into the week, but when Tuesday rolls around, oftentimes conditioning will sort of sprinkle on some, you know, stupid dust, and I'll be
stupid
like,
dust. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
wait, what did
you.
I do this week?
Good for you for dialing in anyway.
Yeah, and as I was, you know, listening to the call, one of the things that dropped in was just noticing how much my life has changed in, you know, pretty almost every single dimension since I started doing practice.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Yes. Yeah, surprising at all, but really interesting that your life has changed practically in every dimension since you started practicing.
Yeah, and it wasn't like, you know, it all seemed very organic as it is continuing to change.
Yes.
And it was like clarity, you know, never thought clarity would come, and then clarity came, and it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, and and somehow I mustered
That's great.
Up the strength
it wasn't
to
what
just
I
go
was,
with it.
It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It's sort of a classic, you know, I didn't know conditioning was running the show until and then it turned because it was telling me how it was going to be, and then this thing happened, and it wasn't the way I thought it was going to be.
No, it's never what I thought it was going to be. Thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just remarkable, I think, as I just sort of, like, you know, feel gratitude towards the practice and also to this person who keeps showing up.
Yeah.
You know, you know, there's those quotes, you know, my life, there's like a million different ways of, my life is better than I ever thought it was possible that it could be.
Uh-huh.
And then just kind of having a second to step back and think, oh my gosh, that's so true.
Yes. Yeah. It's way, way better than I ever could have imagined it was going to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like
the other thing I was...
It seems like what happens with practice often is that we go along practicing, and it's not obvious that I do sitting meditation and then this change happens. But we do the sitting, we do the work with Sangha, we do the practices, and then we look back and realize, wow, my life changed.
Yeah.
It's got a lot to do with practice, but the connection is not always immediately obvious.
No, it's not. It's like, I think I've heard it, you guys describe it as a fog, you know,
that
it slowly, slowly get wet. It's not like the water pours on your head. It hasn't felt like, you know, there's been moments where the water is pouring on my head, but it's felt more like, you know, just kind of a fog, and suddenly I'm wet, you know.
It just soaks in over time.
Yeah, what's interesting is all the while conditioning is on the campaign that I'm not practicing, that I'm not practicing enough, that, you know, it's not working, that I'm not paying attention. It's constantly feeding me that information.
Yes.
And yet I know that it's not true.
Yes, yeah. Because why else would it need to feed you that information? You know, if you're going off the wagon, if you're not practicing and you're going completely unconscious, it's not going to say, well, you better get back there and practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the other thing that I've been noticing recently is that that it feels like I'm you know, at the point of, you know, I know that I'm going to keep recommitting. Like,
yes.
There's a faith that, you know, when I stop the recording and listening, I will start recording and listening again.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
conditioning has told me a million different times, telling me that I'm never going to be able to do it again. And yet my experience is that I always do
mm-hmm.
come back to whatever, you know, the practice.
Yes, yes. And are you recording and listening?
I am.
Oh,
I am. Again, conditioning tells me that I'm not.
Right.
Because it says that I'm not doing it every single day, and maybe, you know, I'm not doing it the right way, but as I reflect on it, I am doing it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It has this way of convincing me that I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, and it's the same thing as my life is way, way better than I ever thought it could be, that all of those thoughts were conditioning, too. It didn't know anything about anything. And then we get
yeah.
the life that we get, and it doesn't match up with what conditioning was trying to sell us.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like sort of the same process. It's telling you how it is, how your practice is, and that's not your experience.
Yeah, it's just, it blows me away every time I see it, though, because I'm just like, how could it just be telling me these lies all the time? I mean, I know that it is, like, intellectually, I know that it's telling me lies all the time.
Right.
But when I really see that it really is telling me lies about
yep.
my life.
Yep.
Yeah,
and it has been for a whole lifetime.
Yeah, and it even tells me the same lies over and over again.
Yep.
And each time there's, you know, at least someone for half a step that will believe it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
if I'm not totally present.
Right. And remembering how not that long ago you probably believed it a whole lot more. You didn't have the practice that now allows you to see it a whole lot sooner. Oh, I fell for it again. Can't believe I fell
yeah.
for it again, but hey, caught it quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Practice is fun, isn't
that.
It?
It is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
It makes for a good life,
fun.
It sounds like.
It does. And the other thing is that commission keeps telling me that it's going to slow down soon. You know, like my life's going to stop changing soon.
Oh, really?
Because there's been some pretty dramatic just shifts in, you know, everything going on. Pretty much every aspect of my life, there's just been some pretty dramatic shifts. And there's continuing on these dramatic shifts. And what I realized today is conditioning keeps telling me that that's going to slow down.
Yeah.
But my experience is that it's not going to slow down. It's actually going to, if anything, speed up.
Yes. Yes. Whee!
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it sounds like it's talking to someone who may wish it would slow down. But
yeah.
that's probably a part who just needs some mentoring.
Yeah, I think it's talking, as you said, I think it's talking to the part that's resisting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And that's
yeah.
really hard.
Yeah. Well, that's so interesting, because as you said that, what I saw was that, you know, we talk about moving at the speed of life,
mm-hmm.
that it's not going to look fast unless we're not keeping up with it.
Right.
Or resisting yeah. it, as you say. If we're moving right along with the speed of life, it's all going to feel just perfect.
Helpful to see. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in, Anna.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll call in again soon. All
good.
Right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air. Melinda, we have about 5 minutes left here, and we have another caller.
That's perfect.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
Hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe it because I got thrown off the call about 8 dozen times.
But you
there's
are...
There's something going on with the system.
Ah. Well, I'm glad you gave it one more try.
I know. I can't believe it because... I've had my own workshop right here in the last, 25 minutes that I've been calling in.
Uh-huh.
Of just, the whole tree falling in the path and, the metaphor that we use a lot of, Just,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I'm just going to keep calling back and
there's
see if
a way around it. There's a way around it. Yep. So what would you like to talk about?
Well, that's just it. I really didn't have anything to talk about.
Well, and maybe that's
I
it.
Was,
calling...
I was like...
Yeah?
Say it again?
I was just starting...
Say it again?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Why don't you go ahead and talk about what you want to talk about?
Oh, well, that's what I was saying. I was just calling to connect. Like I think I heard one of the earlier callers say, I didn't have anything burning or pressing. I just,
yeah.
I was just one feeling a little disconnected. And so I just wanted to connect. And then it was this huge obstacle, of calling in.
Yeah.
And I even got thrown off my computer, the computer. And it was
uh-huh.
just... kind of an interesting workshop right
well,
there in itself.
I love it. I love it. It's perfect, isn't it? Because there you are wanting to connect. And so along comes all of the electronic wizardry we have to thwart you. But you stay with it and stay with it and stay with it and then get surprised, it sounds like, that you actually got through and got on. And didn't particularly have that much to talk about, but it sure gave you something to talk about.
Yeah.
I just love it.
Yeah, and it really is. And the irony of it is, as I was realizing that I didn't have much to talk about, what was coming up was, gosh, my life has just been so easy lately, and there's just not a big problem, and there's nothing, and so I was kind of getting into all of that, and then all of a sudden I have this tree in the path. But
life is not easy. Life is hard. Life is an uphill battle all the way. Oh, I love
it. Gosh, yeah, that is, I see. That is so much, that is so much of a karmic game, isn't it? That sure gets me is how to make something really hard. Like sitting here punching buttons for 25 minutes was really hard,
Yeah. And do you have a sense of what the voices were saying the whole time you were going through that?
Well, yeah, there were a million things going on. One is just put down the phone and get some work done, and so there was the lure to just get on the computer and get some work done. And then there was, no, I've got to stay in this. This is like an obstacle to overcome and this kind of adrenaline of, I'm going to win, I'm going to triumph kind of thing.
Yeah. And you did.
And. Yeah, I guess I did.
Yeah.
Woo, you see for me.
Yeah. I just love it, though, because
it really...
Go ahead.
No, please.
No, I just loved it that you started out by saying, well, when you called, you really didn't have that much to talk about. And then when you start this process, you say there's a million things going on. It's just, life is so...
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, and so endlessly interesting, isn't it? I mean, just always, it's just always something to notice and something to, Sherry says a lot, there's never any reason to be bored.
No reason to be bored at all. Yeah. It makes the body just want to call into the show to see what's going to happen in the process of trying to call into the show.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's great.
Well, I'm glad I had this experience tonight. Thank you for being a part of it.
Well, thank you so much. It does feel like quite a Sangha experience. I'm sure that there's lots of folks out there who share what's happened to you this evening.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Melinda.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You've been listening to Open Air.
That was fun, Michael, wasn't it?
That was fun.
The whole show was fun. But,
it was great.
Yep.
It was great. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Melinda.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Michael.
And I'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Good night.
Good night.